Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My, it's good to ascend the holy hill of the Lord, isn't it? Worship on Zion's hill, and the Bible says the word of the Lord will come out of Zion and his word out of the church. So we thank the Lord. I trust the word will be meaningful to you tonight and speak to your hearts. Title tonight of the message, Give No Place to the Devil. Give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27, nor give place to the devil. The NLV translation says, do not let the devil start working in your life. Ephesians was written to people who had been Christians, some of them for many, many years, decades. Do not let the devil start working in your life. We have 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Let's not let Satan take advantage of us. Let us not be ignorant of his devices. And tonight we're going to the wilderness temptation. Jesus tempted of the devil 40 days in the wilderness. Luke chapter 4, 1 to 2. Three temptations. One for the body, one for the soul, one for the spirit. Luke 4, 1 to 2. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. He was led by the Spirit to face the devil. Now Jesus was a son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He was water baptized and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the devil came. Matthew's gospel says, then came the tempter. Then came the tempter. Saved, water baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then came the devil. New converts, after the initial excitement of Christian life, face the devil. Saved, water baptized, filled with the Spirit, then came the tempter. And there's a battle that goes on for the new convert. There's a battle that goes on for those of us who, from time to time, are used of the Lord. Sometimes after great spiritual victories or great spiritual experiences, we face the attack of the devil like Elijah on Mount Carmel. And always we must be on guard. Always we must be on guard against the enemy of our souls. As much as God loves us, so much the devil hates us. He's trying to hinder, to destroy, to break our life. He comes with temptation. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit to face the devil. 1 Peter 5, 8-9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, not some other believers, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings, the same warfare, the same afflictions and temptations are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We all face these temptations of the enemy. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to face the devil and defeat him. And the Holy Spirit leads us to discern and defeat the devil so that we are no longer subject to his mischief in our life. Now, the enemy came with three temptations, three master tests, one for the body, one for the soul, one for the spirit. Three great temptations. He had worked on these. He had thought them through. He had analyzed the human spirit, the human person. And he had refined these temptations. I mean, he had great success for 4,000 years since Adam. Great success with the human race. Now came the temptation of Christ, and again, the Holy Spirit is alerting us because the temptations Jesus faced are the temptations that we face. Number one, human appetites and hungers. Human appetites, hungers, drives in the human nature. Luke 4, 2-4, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, Jesus was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." What's wrong with eating bread? Well, nothing. What's wrong with eating bread when you're hungry? What is the temptation here? The temptation is, how will we handle our physical, our human appetites, our hungers? Now, some hungers are, some of these appetites in the human frame, in the human nature, are illegitimate. They are unlawful, they are immoral, they are sinful. But others are legitimate within bounds. Eating and drinking, sports and recreation, entertainments, lifestyle, sexuality, relationships. There's nothing wrong with eating bread, but Jesus said, "Devil, even my eating and drinking are under the control of the Holy Spirit. Even my food I subject to the will of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus said, "Devil, I'm going to honor God even in my eating and drinking. I'm going to honor him in my appetites." Food and drink don't commend us to God, the Bible says, and yet Jesus subjected even his food to the will of his Father. He said, "My food is to do the will of him that sent me. I don't live by bread alone. I'm not out to just satisfy the cravings and the hungers of my human personality. Even those are subject, the legitimate ones, even those are subject to the will of God." You see, the enemy was trying to break the calling of the Son of God. Even in something like physical appetites, human appetites and hungers, the enemy can break the call and the purpose of God on our life. And the Lord wants us to understand the temptation of the body. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And so we must get a hold of our appetites. Maybe tonight, maybe some appetites have gone a little too far. Maybe some things are out of order. Maybe there's some excess in some appetites of the human frame and personality. And the Holy Spirit would speak to us and say, "Pull back, give no place to the devil." The temptation of the body, physical appetites, hungers, drives of the human nature. Number two, pride and self-centeredness. Luke 4, 5-8, "Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. All will be yours.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" All will be yours. Pride, the big eye in the middle. Self-centeredness, living for self. World revolves around me. Some, if there's no interest in it for them, won't show, won't go. Get thee behind me, Satan. I don't live for myself alone. I live for others. I live for others. Not going to live unto myself. That voice of the enemy. And notice what Jesus says. Devil, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The temptation of the soul to live unto ourselves, pride, our own way, our own world. Jesus, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. We must maintain our worship, and we must maintain our servant spirit to break this temptation that comes against the soul for selfish living, or we'll end up living for ourselves, and our world will revolve around ourselves. Worship and service. The minute that you feel your worship spirit waning, I don't feel like going to worship. I don't feel like going to the prayer room. Get thee behind me, Satan. Give no place to the devil. He attacks that realm where you're going to live unto yourself. I'll come and go as I please. I'll do what I want. It's a realm that leaves us fruitless in the kingdom of God to a large extent. And so when we feel that spirit, you don't need to go to prayer. Miss the worship service today. Get thee behind me, Satan. When we feel our servant spirit waning, oh, I don't want to serve people. I don't want to give myself to people. You know, that servant spirit comes right down to our own home. We get that spirit in us. Little grind against serving my wife or my husband or my children, my family, or my employer, or my church. See, the enemy is after that. We live unto ourselves, the pride. All will be yours. You can live unto yourself. We say, get thee behind me, Satan. Let's get animated. Get tough with the devil. We can have such emotion for so many things, and yet when it comes to the things of the kingdom, we've been taught to just kind of hold it in and be quiet. Let's get animated against the devil like Jesus did. Away with you, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. That's not the voice of God. I will serve the Lord, and I will serve others. Luke chapter 12, 16 to 21. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul. See, this temptation is in the soul realm. Soul. You have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The pouring out of our lives in worship, in sacrifice, in service. We have to break that preoccupation with self, don't we? It's a realm where the enemy works in us, and all of a sudden it's myself, my time, my schedule, my entertainment, my money, my fun. My. Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not going to just live unto myself. I'm going to live for my family. I'm going to live for as a prayer warrior. I'm going to live for the church. I'm going to meet needs wherever I can. Pour out my life in riches toward God. the temptation of the soul to kind of close up life around ourselves, look after ourselves, and not pour it out for others. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. You know, Jesus had a sharp two-edged sword in his mouth, didn't he? Revelation 1:9, the Son of Man has a sharp two-edged sword in his mouth. It is written, he speaks against the enemy. He breaks the battle. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, leads us into battle. We face the battle of the body, those physical drives and appetites. We face the body of the soul to live unto ourselves. And then the third temptation is the warfare, the battle of the spirit. This one I put under the term spiritual offense and bitterness. Spiritual offense and bitterness. Luke 4, 9 to 13. Then the devil brought Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. He'll be back. He's prowling around, waiting and watching. A few months, a few years. He'll be back with these temptations. Things we can overcome at the beginning. We're so full of zeal. Sometimes years down the road, the enemy in his craftiness and deception, he can get into the heart of a seasoned believer, into the life of a seasoned believer. Again, the landscape of Christian life is strewn with the corpses of men and women who gave in to the temptation of the devil in these three areas. Can you imagine tonight if every person that confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior was water baptized and came under the power of the Holy Spirit, if they were in our churches would be flooded and filled with people, and there would be a dynamic in the land that would be absolutely unbelievable. What happened? Sons and daughters of God, water baptized, filled with the Spirit. The flush of initial excitement. You can hardly believe how great it is to be a Christian. Then came the tempter. Give no place to the devil. Do not let him start working in your life. And this third offense in the spirit, this is the one that really goes deep into us. Spiritual offense and bitterness. Disappointment. Offense in the spirit, which is really offense with God. Let's be honest with ourselves. When we go to offense in our spirit, it's really offense with God. God, you didn't really come through for me like I thought you would. My prayers weren't answered like I thought they were. I saw promises in your word, and they haven't been fulfilled in my life like I thought they would. And what happens? The enemy gets an arrow into the spirit and takes our spiritual life, and it begins to dissipate. Even John the Baptist faced this temptation. My, what a calling. Filled with the Holy Spirit, even in his mother's womb, he leaped for joy by the Holy Ghost. A Nazarite from birth, committed to follow God. Such an anointing. The voice crying in the wilderness. The forerunner of the Christ. The one who would introduce Jesus Christ into the world. What a great ministry. Started preaching at the waters of the Jordan. And for some reason, by divine draw, the people just started coming and word of mouth spread, and the people came, and there was such an anointing and power of God that tens and maybe hundreds of thousands of people were baptized in the Jordan River, confessing their sins, preparing themselves for the Lord. John riding that high ecstasy of the preaching anointing and introducing Jesus himself. And for some time, for a few months, they even labored side by side. My, you couldn't imagine anything greater, could you? But John, maybe 12, 15 months, maybe 18 months at the most, and his ministry was stopped and he was cast into prison. And there, languishing in prison, knowing that his days were numbered and that he could meet the executioner's sword. Matthew 11, 2 to 6. My, this temptation even hit John the Baptist. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" The expectations weren't met. Not fully. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And tell John, blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Wow. Offense in the spirit, disappointment. You know, God will not necessarily fulfill all our dreams and desires. We present them to him. All our expectations may not be fulfilled in this life. And you know, the devil comes. He comes quoting the word of God. But he didn't quote it fully. He left a phrase out in all your ways. He said, God will keep you. And there was a temptation to offense and presumption. The scripture said, Psalm 91, he will keep you in all your ways as you walk in the ways of the Lord. But sometimes we can get presumptuous and we can have expectations and the enemy can get into our spirit. Jesus jumped from the temple, from the wing of the temple, down into the valley. The angels will catch you. I preached it before. What would have happened if Jesus had jumped from the pinnacle of the temple? Would the angels have caught him? No. Jesus would have hit the ground hard. And if he had a sinful nature like we do, he would have picked himself up and been mad at God for letting him fall. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus said, devil, you're not getting any offense in me toward my Father, toward God. And he kept his spirit pure. This is the warfare, the offense. God dropped me. The angels weren't with me. The promise of God wasn't fulfilled like it should be in my life. We surrender everything to the Lord. There's no offense. Give no place to the devil. Where there's disappointment in our life, give no place to the devil. Where there's some sorrow and heartache in our life, some regret, some resentment, give no place to the devil. Do not let the devil start working in your life. You submit yourself to the Lord and say, I will not tempt the Lord my God. He's watching over me. He knows everything about me. I will walk in his ways and in obedience to his will. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, looking carefully, lest any believer, fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many be defiled. This is the temptation in the spirit. This is the temptation of offense, of disappointment. Disappointment with God, disappointment with his promises, disappointment with people, disappointment with circumstances, disappointment with churches, disappointment with spiritual authorities and leaders. This is the bait of Satan, that offense. And offense gets into our spirit, disappointment, resentment, and some never serve faithfully again. Zeal falls off. They walk out their life with an offended spirit. It's deep. Most people can't see it, but it's there. And they never bring fruit unto perfection. We must lay aside our offense with God. His promises are true. His word is true. And he will deal with us and care for us and raise us and train us as sons and daughters of his. My, the Bible says, when that root of bitterness gets into a person, that disappointment, that offense, many are defiled. It affects the unity of the church. The church is disunified. People that listen to the offense and the murmuring and the disappointment, they're defiled. And people that have this bitter root in their spirit, this negative root in their spirit, stop many people from serving the Lord. Maybe their own children, maybe their own family, because now they're walking with a bitter spirit and there's trouble inside their own life and they don't honor the Lord and his kingdom and the church like they should. This third temptation, spiritual offense, bitterness. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, devil, get behind me. Devil, you have no place. Devil, you're not going to land that temptation of offense on my life. I blew up the landing strip. Get thee behind me, Satan. And so we war. And so we war. And this is how we have to war our whole life. And if we do, we can walk as sons and daughters of God in victory, defeat the devil. Jesus didn't have an easy life. He didn't have an easy warfare. He didn't have an easy service mandate, but he kept walking and he gave it all for God. And what a great Son of God and what a great Savior we have. And we want to walk in his steps. Let's have the worship ministry return and let's close with Psalm 119. Verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, when I face the temptation of offense, disappointment like that wants to get in my spirit, I just say, Lord, I'm not loving your law enough. Right now, I'm not loving your Bible enough and what you say, so I'm going to start loving what you say right now and turn this offense away. Just let this thing fall. Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. Walk on with the Lord. Well, I trust tonight that the word has ministered into your heart. Maybe you're here tonight and you recognize in yourself, those around you might not even know it, but you know in your heart you carry an offense that hinders you in the gospel and hinders your victory and joy and gladness in the Lord, some wound, some disappointment. You know, the Lord says, just give that to me tonight. Just let the Holy Spirit wash that out of your heart. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Maybe you're facing temptation in the soul realm. More and more living unto yourself, my vacation, my time, my lifestyle, my fun, my... living for yourself, what a dead way to live, the Bible says. Those that serve themselves are dead while they live. So I say, I'm gonna end that tonight. I'm going to go serve again like I used to. I'm going to go and be a prayer warrior like I was. I'm going to be a worship warrior. I'm going to be an encourager, a son of consolation. I'm going to serve in the ministry where I can and build the church and increase the kingdom of God. Or maybe tonight you say, my appetites have gotten away on me. I'm excessive in things. They're not sinful or immoral. but they're just taking too much from me. And I need to get back, because man shall not live by those things, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And so we bring our physical appetites, our human drives, under the control of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together tonight. If you'd like prayer for any need or want to consecrate yourself to the Lord, please feel free to slip out from where you are and come to the altar at the front here. People will come and pray for you. Maybe you're facing warfare tonight. Maybe you're a young Christian, and what has been illustrated from the Word of God tonight is exactly where you are, and you know the warfare. Tonight, the Holy Spirit is encouraging you and giving you weaponry and giving you wisdom so you don't fall, but walk on with God in ministry and maturity and honor. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Let's worship our beautiful Lord.